Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
Plugged In on KBOO is a radio show dedicated to underground electronic music. The show is hosted by DJ Tronic and features deep house, techno, drum and bass, breakbeats, future bass, downtempo, and more. Plugged In frequently has local producers and DJs on the show, and we provide info about upcoming events in Portland, including free ticket giveaways. Plugged In airs the first and third Friday of every month from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific time.
KBOO. Good morning. This is Consuelo, Once Upon a Time. One more time here, we will start with our collaboration, asking you to collaborate with this wonderful station so this way they can keep having this program and many others. So show your support for KBOO. Oh, sorry. And today, you can send a check or mail to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon 97214. There are so many ways that you can collaborate. Today is a very special day because I am with my oldest friend from here. She was born, I think, in Albany. And we met when she was 11 years old. Of course, I wasn't 11 years old at the time. But we became friends, and we like each other. And she became my great companion during those very difficult years, too. And today, she's a grown-up woman. She is eclectic in some way, like I am. And we are going to talk about everything, because she is a writer, she's a musician, she's an actress, she's a teacher, she's a mother, she's a friend, she's a daughter. She's a great woman, and I am very proud to introduce you to her. Sarah Preacher Coleman, my dear friend. Okay, so today we are going to talk, before I'm going to talk about, the program is going to be related to music and autobiography. What is very, very interesting subject, because I have been trying to relate to this kind of connection, and it's very appealing to me to see how the musician also are writing music in relation to their life. And it's very common, to the point that we can talk about some genre autobiography between music and the gender in literature autobiography. It has been, we know that autobiography has been for a long time, but also musicians. There are many classic composers that they wrote their symphony, like I mentioned one about Mahler. And now it's very popular that musicians talk about their personal life when they write their own song. I have selected three different songs where we will learn about a little bit about the life of the author and the musician, and also the combination of music and lyric, I think is very interesting how we can mix. Usually the musicians start talking about their childhood and others start talking about their present life. No doubt that there is an event that mark the creation of an autobiography. So let's go, and we are going to listen to John Lennon. John Lennon wrote this wonderful song called Watching the Wheels. He just became a father, and the music industry was very angry at him because he wanted to kind of resign from that industry and wanted to dedicate his life exclusively to his domestic life. And he wrote, "People say I am crazy doing what I am doing, no longer riding on the merry-go-round. I just had to let it go." Okay, listen.
People say I'm crazy doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from ruin. When I say that I'm okay, well, they look at me kind of strange. Advice designed to enlighten me. When I tell them that I'm doing fine, watching shadows on the wall. Don't you miss the big time, boy, you're no longer on the ball. I'm just sitting here watching the wheels.
Here we are, Once Upon a Time, Consuelo, and the phone number is 503-231-1887. I will let you know when we will be ready to have your call. I hope you do, because it's a very interesting program. And we are talking about the relationship between autobiography and music. And we just listened to John Lennon and Watching the Wheel, what is a very remarkable song and was one of the latest that he wrote. Now we are going to talk about the importance of writing and reading. I read a nice article about writing and reading decrease our sense of isolation. Our society now has this terrible problem, especially when you migrate to other country. They deepen and widen and expand our sense of life. They feed the soul. Yes, we think and we believe, writer, that books have fly and they have the power to change your life. And this is what we're going to talk with my dear friend Sarah, because since I met her 10,000 years ago, she had her own journal as a child. So I want her to talk a little bit about that period of her life when she has her journal. And she was a very, very hungry reader. She's still. Okay? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
My childhood journal? Yes. I'm Sarah. I'm so happy to be here with you. When I think about to my childhood journaling, it's interesting to think about a time when we were writing without thinking about social media and who is going to be reading that information. So I think I do have that goal this year of thinking of myself as the audience instead of other people as the audience, like moving away from that. But, I have found those journals or those writings, when I dig around in my things. Jumping ahead to now, I think about we've talked a lot about the importance of writing, not to publish for the other person, but to kind of leave a legacy for your family, or even just for yourself, for your own memories later, to see what happened. But this has taken a different shape for me as I've started doing research. Connected to where I'm living, my different religious views and my social views, and I keep thinking, oh, I'm thinking about something new. I'm thinking about, I have a different interest. But really, this voice that we have and how it's not actually different from our childhood, right? We think we go down these different paths and these different trails and thinking, oh, my voice is different now as an adult, as a 48-year-old woman. But I actually keep coming back to the same thing, which is why do we believe what we believe? How are we affected by others? How do we affect others? The sociology of understanding these changes and the psychology is really important. So this is important to me.
Yeah, I think in my regard or my opinion, the most important one of the most important aspects of having a journal or to write a kind of autobiography without knowing that you're writing your autobiography is that you are a witness of your time. And then people who goes to college or who are curious, they will read about how life was during the 90s or during your time. So it's not only something that you do to express yourself, what is very important, because it helped you to get to know who you are and where you are going in life, and not to be scared about anything. And so this way you can keep going in your path and your journey, and if the journey changed, you will know more or less why it's changing. And I think in your case, or my case, and Lily's case, who was here also, we start this path very early in our life. You were 11, I was 11, and it's hard to stop writing. And in your case, of course, you are living in Qatar now, so your life has been completely changed, mine too, but in a different way, I think. So what have you learned about the act of writing almost every day or once a week to express yourself. What have you been experienced? I mean, how do you feel after you finish and you read what you wrote and you said, oh, yeah, I feel that way. What is your impression?
The area of my job as a special education teacher, and specifically working with people with autism, you know, we explore a lot about our feelings, about where those feelings come from, understanding feelings. And I mean, it's a great pleasure to be an educator, because you're always writing, okay? You're professionally writing, but personally writing too. What do I learn? I learned that we don't, you know, it's a continuous evolution, right? To understand ourselves in the context of others. You know, so what have I...
This is a coordinated monthly test of the emergency alert system through broadcast stations in the greater Portland, Vancouver area, including Clackamas, Columbia, Multnomah, and Washington counties in Oregon, and Clark County in Washington. With the cooperation of public safety, broadcasters, and cable operators, this system informs you of events that pose an immediate threat to your life, health, or property. If this had been an actual emergency, official information would have followed the alert tone. This test was originated by Clark Regional Emergency Services Agency in Vancouver, Washington. This concludes this test message.
They are one, in my opinion. So some word means to you, in my case, living here in a language that is not that apart from my own language, sometimes I don't understand anything because I don't understand the meaning. I and people look at me like, no, that is a slang. I'm not familiar with that slang, and it's hard, but also it's a challenge. But going back to autobiography, I think it's the exercise of writing about our experience and our daily life bring us a lot of not only self-knowledge, but also a comprehension, as you mentioned very good, a comprehension of our society, where we are, where are we immersed in that moment. Don't you think? Because for you, when you came back, you came to Qatar the first years, I am sure it was full of surprise, curiosity, frustration, all kind of feeling. So you were talking about that. That will be, there is a wonderful, sorry, but I have to say this. There is a wonderful writer from England who went to Chile in the 18th century, and she wrote a biography or autobiography called My Life in Chile. And it's very, very interesting. And there we come back to the sociological and literature point, how she mentioned all her experience. Can you imagine to be in Chile in the 18th century? Mm-hmm. So for you, arriving to Qatar with a child, with your husband, how that experience, I am sure is in your journal and your writing.
The current work I'm doing a master's degree in Islam and global affairs, which is never what I thought I would do. And people say, well, why are you doing this? Okay, this is also for my own education, for my own understanding of the world and where I'm living, not just, you know, as a person, but also as a Muslim convert. So I decided to focus my research on why people convert from one religion to another. Okay, this is a rabbit trail, and it's a beautiful one. But you start looking at the motifs of conversion and from a sociological standpoint and from psychological. So that's what I've been doing a lot of writing about and the research about. And the questions are very interesting. You know, the questions that I'm asked in Qatar and the questions I'm asked in America and the questions I'm asked in the UK when we visit friends there are all very different. So this is a lot of the focus of that writing and thinking. But again, it's coming back to that voice. But also I think another theme for me is inclusivity, because You know, we're constantly talking about this, and what does that really mean? It means something different in every culture. Microculture.
Yeah.
But it's a really important conversation, because as we become more globalized, we think that we're more connected, but actually we're more separated in a lot of ways. And so my goal always is to say, look, yes, I live in Qatar, and you know, I have this specific religious identity, but I'm a Westerner. You know, I was born in America. I traveled early. Thank goodness to you, that's where I really realized I didn't want to just stay in the U.S. I wanted to have this wider view. But you can never shake off these other parts of your identity, and you shouldn't. And you have to be inclusive to your own identities.
Okay.
So this is important.
I agree completely. And we have to say that when she was 14 years old, she decided she wanted to go to Chile. So we took her to Chile with us, and was her first international trip. And from there to Qatar, it's a long way, but there she was. Now we are going to listen Caught by the Fuzz by Supergrass, and then we will keep talking with Sarah Preacher Coleman at Once Upon a Time. We are with Once Upon a Time. Our phone number are 503-231-8187. Our line are open for your questions, suggestion, comment, and whatever you want to say. If you have another song that is autobiographical, we will be very happy to take note, because I think we are going to do another program with the same subject, but directly to classical music and classical composer, perhaps. Anyway, so we were talking about autobiography and how the impact in our life start very young, when we start writing and we have our journal. Now, can we talk, Sarah, my dear, about one of the books that impressed you, impact your life, and that you suggest to be The Holy Land? And I would like to know your opinion, because it's an autobiography.
Mm-hmm. So the book is by Lauren Booth, who is a journalist originally from the United Kingdom, and she has an interesting background as the sister-in-law of Tony Blair, which this was how she had kind of fame and access. But she was doing reporting in Palestine, and this is how she really changed her perspective, you know, on the world. And she converted to Islam. Now she actually lives in Turkey. But one of the interesting things about this is that when you're looking at autobiography, right? So I was looking through this again. You see that actually what has changed between when she published this book a few years ago, and now, right? So actually I keep up with her on social media. So this is this conversation about the ongoing autobiography, you know, how things are going. But she does, you know, it impressed me because her writing is really honest about the difficulty of being a Westerner, being a Muslim, trying to reveal truths that people don't want to see, being a mother. But I really, really enjoy her.
Did she speak in her? I am sure she did. She does. The transition, how you go from one path to another, especially, and the same for you, I want to know, was one of my questions as a friend, especially. And because I think in my own view, how I see myself very open to Buddhist and to Islam, and to, I am a Catholic as my formation, but, and I love this Pope, regardless what people can say, is the kind of Pope I like it. But I don't have any, I don't think I have any prejudice against any other religion, and all the opposite. I think they bring so much deepness and joy to our knowledge of what God is.
Mm-hmm.
What was for you that transition between being, because at that time you were a Buddhist, isn't it? And how was it?
I mean, this is a whole show, right? I mean, this is actually one word.
Yes, difficult.
This is one of my this is what I'm writing my research about, right? And what people say, like, okay, you should teach a class about this, or, you know, I mean, I think, you know, religion and faith is a really personal topic.
It's true.
And so, you know, the way that I personally operate is, you know, with a lot of hesitation in some ways about sharing things. I think things are private, you know, but also, like, the social obligation that I feel is just to say, like, you know, to get out there and ask questions and not be afraid. I feel like obviously we're influenced by media, by what we see, by what we hear, no matter what that is. So just reading people's stories, speaking to people personally is the most important thing. But as far as her transition, and like a lot of people who convert from one religion to another, it doesn't really matter what it is.
Yes.
There's a sense of like oneness or understanding that's often a mystical experience. It's kind of an unknown piece of like, okay, I just knew this is what was supposed to happen. But it's not
awakening,
like
an awakening? Awakening moment? That
maybe like
that knowing a moment, but because it's a process, isn't it?
Sure. It is, but it is like an awakening moment of, you know, a moment of like, okay, this is a moment of knowing. And also, like I was saying, you're not leaving everything behind, and then going to something completely. It's not possible, okay, for me anyway. And it's not asked of you, actually, you know, to say, like, okay, you're supposed to forget all of these things
and only be this. No.
But I'm very interested in the struggle of that. There's actually in Portland and at Reed College, there's a professor there who studies this, you know, Islam in America, which is also very interesting. But so this is the way I operate, is by researching, studying, asking questions. Some people don't do that, and you don't have to do that, right? But I think just understanding more about more people, right? Asking, you know, I feel very fortunate to be living where I'm living, right? Like, we have friends from everywhere, from Iraq, from Chad, from Pakistan, from, you know, India, like all of the places, and a variety of religions, you know, and manifestations of Islam in that way too. So
yes,
this is
And as a person who studied theology at the university, Catholic University in Chile, I can tell you that at the end, all these master or guru, they were writing. Even Jesus Christ never wrote anything. I was thinking about that the other day. It's very interesting. He didn't. He only spoke. And all of them concentrate in the certain value that there are universal value, and that they don't belong to a particular group of or religion, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
So to be compassionate, to be solidary, to be gentle is something universal. So here we have our first call. Great.
Hi.
Go ahead. This first is Consuelo. Hi.
Okay, Consuelo, you rock. I love your music choices, but that second one I did not expect. Okay, that was just a joke. And one, I guess I want to get this out because I love your little, what we could call them misspeaks or so, but they're very cute, and I just don't want you to feel insecure about them. My wife is French, and she does this sometimes, and sometimes these things, like, she'll say, like, more better or something, okay. But, okay, I wondered about religion, for one. Okay, so while we're on that subject, now, she calls herself a Catholic, but yet she never goes to Mass.
Oh,
I'm not judging, I'm just saying, but how people identify. Like, you could say you're an American, but you could go move to France and change your nationality, but I think a lot fewer people change, convert, if you will, okay?
Yeah, I agree. I think
you're born into both of them.
Of course, I'm sorry. I would like to comment to your comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I think we don't have to broke or cut who we are or where we were born or where our first or beginning religion was. We add to who we are. When we see my life here, for example, is completely different to the life I have in Chile. But I don't hesitate to look back to my life, and my life has been and happier here because of the experience that I am bringing to my life in Portland. For example, where I work, I speak a lot of French. Yesterday, a client came, and I recognized his accent, and I said, "Are you French?" "Yes." "So let's speak French." And he looked at me like, "Do you speak French?" "Of course I speak French." "Of course." Mm-hmm. For me, it's of course. So this is an addition. The same comes to religion. No, I am myself. My fundamental belief is Catholic. Mm-hmm. But I am not closing door to other way of thinking, because it's a philosophy. Yeah, it's philosophy.
On that subject, I've read the Bible a few times in different ones, and even the Mormon one, just because I was bored in jail for writing a poetry book the government didn't like, but I'll get into that. But the thing is that I have read parts of the Quran, and when I first got introduced to it, I hired some people from Afghanistan, and they had been sent by their parents here during the Russian invasion back in the 80s and early 90s. And so, but they have the same names of many of the people in the Bible, in the Quran. And I would like people to suggest that it could be a third in a trilogy.
Interesting.
It's not the opposite of.
You can call
it's not four and two.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting way of thinking. I think it's important to be, if you're engaged in these sorts of conversations and dialogues and you're interested in this, then picking it up and reading and asking questions is important and great. And then finding people, other writers who write about this to deepen understanding, not to change religion or this sort of thing, but just to understand the greater conversation historically as well.
My personal religious history is I was born in Lutheran, and I call it now a cult. I spent 40 years in a cult. Most people refer to it as a Lutheran church. Now, why? Because every week we said, and in unison, "I am by nature sinful and unclean." It reminds me of Toy Story with all those little things in the machine are bowing down to this guy that's playing it like he's a god or something. Okay, and it's interesting that you say we don't say we in unison. We say I. Each of us says I. 100 people or whatever. Now, I told the pastor before I left that church that I could accept the fact that I can do sinful and or unclean things, but if I thought that was my nature, that's just pathetic. I mean, there's no hope, right? Okay. So, and then I went to Unity for about 10 years, and that was supposed to be a New Age thing, but I found mostly it's still like the same hierarchy inside, and they're basically offshoots of Catholics, Lutherans, what have you. And now I just don't go to church, but I'm very spiritual. I'm real super connected with an essence that I call, you know, people go think when I give charity to people, they go, bless you, God bless you, and I say, she does.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not an old boys club. I think spirit is a feminine energy that's in all around us. It's the air we breathe, you know.
Yeah, I think it's important to find hope, and I especially like this is the piece coming back to the autobiography piece and the writing and memoir piece, like coming back to what, you know, what those voices are for you, you know, the feelings of peace and, you know, where people can find that. Like, you know, it's not up to me to say this is how each person should find it. It's not my job. So that's how, you know, I just try to find peace and to be good in the world, but to come back to that autobiography and understanding how you came to this place and the different things that have impacted that those voices for you.
Yeah, that is the main importance of books, because it's true that the oral tradition bring a lot of information, but reading is something that stay with you, and you can keep going and read it again. And usually I do that with the books. After 5 or 10 years, I go back and reread it, and it's a different view of the book. And the way how writer who mm-hmm. has been going through this transition and who is are showing to us how they dealt with this situation, how hard was, how meaningful, that is a tremendous powerful opportunity to learn from them. And this is the idea of this program, to encourage people to write their experience, even if they don't publish. That is the most important thing. The important thing is that they have this kind of routine, not to feel scared or isolated. I think the isolation is one of the worst diseases of our society right now.
Yeah, I've been writing religiously, I might say, for about over a decade now, and I find that it helps your mind work better. It keeps your mind organized.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's that is like what philosophy does. Yes, huh? I agree. It's exactly what philosophy does. Okay, I am so happy that you are back. We were missing you. Because I remember my first program, and you were talking.
I had to. You were out there all alone. And can I just want you love
yes.
books? The Count Monte Cristo, the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah.
Dumas, I think. Yeah, Dumas. And you asked for songs from the future. Harry Chapin wrote a very autobiographical song called Taxi, I think is the title of it. Yeah.
Taxi. Okay. I will look for that.
And it's very classically oriented, written. Okay, it's released in the 70s, but it uses, you know, violins and orchestration and such
nice,
like that.
Nice. Very good.
Hey.
Okay, I hope to have you again. And
again.
Yeah, and let's practice some French, okay?
Oh, yeah.
A bientôt.
Okay.
A bientôt. Bye-bye. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Bye-bye. Okay, here we are with Sarah Preacher Coleman, and at our Once Upon a Time, our phone number is 503-231-8187. And let's talk again about our contribution to our wonderful station, KBOO. And you can do it by text SMS KBOO to 44321. anything you are given is welcome and appreciate, and we will make a good use of your contribution, giving the ordinary people to have the possibility to talk to about unbelievable and wonderful subject like today. I am very impressed by my friend and how she became the woman she is today. I am so sorry that I haven't been in her daily life. I would have liked it. But in some way, to see her once a year allow me to appreciate more who she became. And I am very, very proud. Okay, let's go with our third music song. It's Bad Repetition, Reputation by Joan Jett. Here we are again. This is, like Ender said, our first show of the year. So happy new year to everybody. And we keep talking with my dear friend. And she wanted to talk. She mentioned something about her first trip to Chile. Okay, go ahead.
Well, just before this, because you mentioned, yes. Like, I was 11 when we met.
Yes.
And one of the things I remember very clearly, you were telling me that the image that you used with me was being under the table. Yes. You talked about
that's true. How do you remember
yeah,
that?
You talked about being under the table and feeling like as you know, as a Spanish speaker, you know, and a Chilean in America. You felt like you were under the table because people didn't understand you culturally, and they didn't understand your language. They didn't understand your struggle. And I think actually children are the best people to understand these sorts of difficulties, because we were, you know, we go through that, right? Every person in the middle school years, right, thinks that their life is the worst. You know, things are very difficult. So I think I, you know, really connected with that idea that we felt, that I felt hidden or misunderstood. But when I went to Chile, like, I mean, the memories I have, right, you always, you think at the moment, right, and I try to explain this to kids now, you think it's the most important thing happening, and it really was one of the most, like, important things happening to me at the time. I mean, I'd never left Oregon, you know, I'd never left the country. I'd left Oregon to go on road trips, but this is not the same. And, you know, Pinochet was still in power. There were you know, people in the streets marching. There were people, you know, like military people with large weapons. You know, these are things I had never seen. And actually, you know, I met people with differing political views as well on this trip. You know, sure. Like, you actually allowed these things to happen to me, which was such a blessing, because now, you know, we, like, really calculate how things are going to go. We have our phones. We know exactly. And, like, thinking about this, like, you know, I don't know, just meeting people, eating different foods, thinking, okay, what's a pizza, you know, in Santiago versus what I've grown up with? You know, these are things that, like, seem very surface level, but when you're 11 years old, or, you know, 12, 13, I was 13 when I went.
14.
So I came back to the U.S. and I was, you know, people asked me really silly questions. Like, you know, and I was like, you know, like, about what people look like, right? How people spoke, you know, that were really surface level. And I kind of knew I didn't then want to live, you know, just in the United States. I wanted to have these experiences. So really, it's really a blessing, really a blessing.
I agree. I think we need to be, we are a citizen of the world. And if we don't have a chance to travel, because not everybody does, that is the reason you should read. Mm-hmm. That is the way you travel all over the world, and you get to know other writers from other culture that mm-hmm. use a different word, and they have similar problem and similar challenge, but they cope with them probably in a different way. Mm-hmm. I think one more time, to write and to read, take your soul long way and give you a lot of knowledge that otherwise you will not get. In my situation, why I am in love with autobiography. The other day I received all part of my books from Chile, and I asked exclusively to send me the autobiography books that I have read and I have bought for many years in my life. And it's one way not to feel exactly isolated, because, like my dear friend, remember, of course, my first time, my first immigration time in Corvallis, really, Corvallis, was very, very hard. And she was the one who saved me. And then my dear friend, Therese, who became, both of them, very close to me and to my heart, and still today. And it was difficult to understand why I was here and what kind of life I could develop. And talking to a friend of mine the other day, I said, I don't understand why I feel so happy now here. And it's the same Oregon. And she said, because now it's your life. It's not Fred's life. That make a difference. And of course, to open the mind of children like we did. She was the one who wanted to go to Chile, and she was very curious since she was born. In relation to that, to the teacher, as a teacher, what is your experience with the children? What are you doing? I want to know more about that.
I work for a large nonprofit organization in Qatar. Been very lucky to be there. But I work with children and adults, mainly in the autism world. Okay, and so I consult, and I meet with students individually at times. and I meet with parents and other teachers. And this has been a real blessing because you learn about people from where they are in that moment, where parents are, and you realize that parent struggles and desires are the same in all over the world. You know, we want our children to be included, to be accepted, to understand the world, but also to be protected. I mean, Qatar is a very safe place. People always ask me if I feel safe in the Middle East, and I said, safer? Yes, very safe. And, you know, but every place has its difficulty, right? But I'm really fortunate because I have some specific students who have really taught me a lot about language and about identity. And, you know, a lot of the children I work with do travel a lot. But what does that travel look like? And then asking them questions about what that looks like for them. What does their family look like? One thing I was going to say, I have a dear friend. She's Qatari. And she's widely traveled and reads a lot. And so often I will bring back books, and then we read the same book. And I really, we read Margaret Atwood's latest book of poetry together. And so what was really interesting is discussing, even though she's a fluent English speaker, her perspective of the language used by Atwood and what the meaning is behind that. So this is I feel really fortunate to have these experiences too, because you know, language and culture and how these things weave together and what her autobiography would look like.
Yeah.
So, you know, and also just, I would encourage people to just know more people. Okay. Like, and we have the huge.
Yeah, but it's not, yeah. I have to interrupt.
Yes.
Because I disagree a little bit. It's not more, it's mm-hmm. to connect.
Connect. Yeah.
To have deep conversation, mm-hmm. meaningful conversation, because we are all here trying to answer the big question, why are we doing here? What is the purpose of being here? How I can make my life more meaningful? How I can become a better person? That is my purpose mm-hmm. right now in my life. And how I can enjoy, how I can be more empathic, solidary with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in our, my age and your age too, that we are adult and we are more profound, I think. Even we were both very profound when we were children because we were full of curiosity. And that is mm-hmm. So it's not only to meet for, oh, how
yes,
are you? How do
them.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
How? La, la, la. No, that is... chit-chat, no, I don't. It's true that you don't connect with everybody right away, you see? So sometimes when you get that connection, if you feel that there is certain connection, I am thinking about somebody this moment, it's very hard to not to keep it. It's even if it doesn't develop in the way mm-hmm. you want, probably, I don't know. It's worthwhile because it's hard. Older you get, it's harder to really connect. In my, where I work, my whole connection are with younger people. Bueno, I had that thing since I was mm-hmm. younger.
I think like something I've learned from working with, you know, people with autism, autistic
yes.
people, is to actually listen and to be present without filling the space. So connection is also the space, you know. So especially in this time, we have quite a few friends who are Palestinian. And listening to their stories and being present for the difficulty, being advocates for this. But it's also very difficult to be present for this. So to be living, you know, among this in an intense way is, you know, is difficult, but also really important. So it is about that connection.
Yeah, it's very important. I will finish the program that has been extremely interesting. And last week we have somebody, Betsy, talking about her parents getting escaped from Germany Nazi. And today we have somebody, my friend, speaking about being a Palestinian living in Qatar, so I am very happy because the two sides of a coin. And I would like to finish the program with the other side of Liverpool by Ringo Starr. Sometimes I feel that Ringo has been the youngest brother and people don't pay enough attention to him.
And he wrote this wonderful song called The Other Side of Liverpool, because he had a very poor upbringing. His father abandoned him when he was 3 years old, and he write only way out of there, drum, guitar, and amp. And I will say books and books and music, of course. Who doesn't love music? We have another call? Do we have another call? Yeah, okay.
It's the same person.
Yeah?
It's the same person.
Okay, tell me. Hello?
I wanted to mention, somebody mentioned this to me a long time ago, and you were talking about music earlier, that music is not the notes. Music is the space between the notes.
Nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Sounds funny,
very
right? Nice. But get it. If it was just notes, it'd be like blam, 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 blam. That's just cacophony. Right?
Yeah. Very, very good. Yes, yes. I think Pablo Neruda has a wonderful poem about the rain, and he said, the rain is the piano of the poor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very powerful.
Oh,
bueno.
Beautiful.
Beautiful writer, beautiful. And talking about what my friend was saying in terms of how we interpret poetry and different words, for me, the most difficult thing is to read poetry in English and sometimes even in French, because of exactly her point, the interpretation. So to be writing or to be reading with somebody else at the same time is a great exercise, because not only you know a different interpretation, but also you go farther in how you read the text, because there is subtext and there is a context in the poem. And that is wonderful. I wish I had somebody I can...
I've written a lot of poetry. The thing, what I see is that... can I mention... because there's a trend now where, like, any little essay is now being called poetry. This is from War and Peace. Tolstoy said, poetry... Hang on. Poetry is meter and rhyme. Otherwise, everything besides school textbooks and technical manuals is poetry.
Very nice. I want to ask you, if you have a poem that is autobiographical, you can read it on the air next time. I will be here.
Oh, yeah, I have a few. And
okay,
I wanted to mention, back to religion, if we will, I wrote one, and I can't remember the title even, but I'll give you the last two lines because it's really beautiful. But I'll mention the idea behind it was that everybody blames Eve, you know, for the fall of man, as it's called.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, well, Adam chose also, yes, okay, so he can bear some responsibility. But the idea was that I think if any of us were there, we might also make that choice. It was a very alluring choice, wasn't it? And the way it was described and such. So anyway, the poem ends, so after all this steep tuition, you'd think we'd bring more to fruition.
Nice. Very good. Very good.
Okay.
I will, in relation to Eve and Adam, we have to read Joseph Campbell and the interpretation of myth. Mm-hmm. And he will give you a very, very good idea.
Also, I would read Lucille Clifton.
So you see, we are here, two women that know a little bit about the subject that we are talking about.
Really quick, I know it's wrapping up, but because in the media they call people that write songs singers, they call them singer-songwriters.
Right,
Bob
Dylan.
But they're really poets. Lyrics are poetic.
Yeah, okay.
So they're poet. Songwriters is what they are.
Yeah.
I want to put it in perspective. Thank you so much again. It was
thank you. And if you, like I said, if you want to read one of your poems
next time,
I think it's the 19th, the next program or the next show, you are welcome to do it. Okay.
So you're not every week, you're every other week.
Yeah, but so the 19th, I think, is the 19th. Something like that.
You.
Okay. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Au revoir. A bientôt.
Bisous, bisous.
Yeah, bisous, bisous. He is my fan. Good. I am so pleased. So I would like to, again, talk about the by, ¿cómo se llama? You see?
Ringo Starr.
Always Ringo Starr. Always the Spanish come back, and the French also come back. The Other Side of Liverpool, where he wrote about his upbringing and how difficult it was, and he has this wonderful sentence that I like. Ay, señor. The other side of Liverpool is cold and damp. Only way out of there, drum, guitar, and amp. And I will add books, books, and books, and good food, if you can. Okay, I will see you another week. Not the next one, the other. And we will probably keep going with the music because I found so much material and I would like to share with you. And if it's possible, we will find somebody else. Not as dear as my friend, of course not, but a very nice guest who will enlighten us like she has done today with her youth and her experience and her maturity and knowledge.
Thank you very, so much for having me.
Very, very happy, my dear.
Happy we could be here.
You made my day. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Consuelo.
Well, you know what I mean. It was you and Brian Briscoe. Got me through my early teens.
All right.
The other side of Liverpool.
You're listening to KBOO Portland at 90.7 FM and streaming on the web, kboo.fm. I'm Don Jacobson, and moving on, we'll be here in just a few minutes right after the news.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy viernes 5 de enero del 2024. El número de muertos en Gaza supera los 22.000 mientras Biden evita que el Congreso enviara más municiones a Israel. Israel mata a 5 palestinos en Cisjordania y muere el 7º palestino en una cárcel israelí desde el 7 de octubre. Sudáfrica presenta un caso de genocidio contra Israel ante la Corte Internacional.